Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie.
And I'm Russ.
And we are here for Cowboy Church, and we have got a special show for you. What we try to do is sometimes have a story.
Sure.
People's story. We have good music.
Jesus called them parables.
Yeah. And then we have a sermon or a talk to be able to speak to you about what God's doing and what He's done in the Bible and relate that to our lives today. Anything that you can think of that we've got on tap?
Well, you know, that it kind of surprised me this morning. What do you have on tap? This week I was reading in the Bible, and I'm in the part of talking about Jesus. And this week I got to read all three episodes where he had the Sermon on the Mount, mm-hmm. and then they went into the boat, and he didn't get in the boat with him. He sent him out on the sea.
Yeah.
And then what happened? They were in the middle of the night, and a storm comes up, and he's not in the boat with them. And they're pretty nervous, you know. They're trying to keep the water out and keep their bodies
mm-hmm,
in.
Mm-hmm.
And here comes Jesus walking on the water. And yeah. I was just thinking about that. You know, that would kind of freak me out,
yeah.
really.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you. I know Peter was intrigued by it, and he said, "Hey, I want to walk on the water too." And Jesus told him, "Come on." And then he looked another direction and sunk, and Jesus had to rescue him. But what would you have done if you'd have been on that boat and see Jesus walking across the water?
Start paddling?
What?
Paddling the other way?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that they had never experienced. I mean, we got to look at their humanity there. And, you know, who is this man? Who is he?
Yeah, and I think that this morning, my prayer is that you will have an encounter that's nothing mm-hmm. like you've ever had before. I hope that you have one of those encounters where you look at Jesus and go,
"Never thought about that one."
I don't. Maybe I'm scared. You know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm scared. Maybe I don't know how this is going to happen exactly, but the truth of the matter is, what he was doing is he was allowing fear to be in their life so that he could begin to be the one that, through experience, that they're connection with him would be turned into not fear, but it would turn into reverence and respect.
Mm-hmm. Or a healing balm.
Or a healing, yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of depends on where they are.
One that comes around and surrounds and saves them, you know, and is the hope.
Yeah. So many times you think that all this Christianity stuff is about a decision of going to church and everything's dry, dry, dry. But God sent his son Jesus so they could have an experience or experience the oddest things. I mean, just crazy stuff that
yeah.
Jesus did. And yet, in all of that, they learned that they could trust him. They learned that, oh, you know, this is a guy I want to hang around with.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope you have that kind of encounter today at Cowboy Church, that you think, well, I've never heard Cowboy Church. That's an odd thing. Maybe
right.
it's your first time to be with us. We're glad that you're here with us. But I hope that you don't think it's Cowboy Church as much as you think, what an interesting way to see Jesus. And from this perspective, that when you walk away from here, you go, I know more about Jesus right now than what I did when I showed up at the beginning of this
yeah.
program.
When you got on the boat.
Yeah, exactly.
I know more about him now than when I got on the boat. Well, sit back and relax. We're going to Cowboy Church.
It's a good thing to be able to live the Western life, isn't it? So this is one I'd like to dedicate to all of you from Colorado. Bobby and Jean, they had a dream of moving west and settling down. So they bought a ranch out in Colorado, out near that Denver town. Well, times were hard and they started to argue more than just now and then. And Bobby, he'd saddle up old Jack and ride off into the wind, saying, I got ride the fences, I got to mend them when they're down, and sleep on. Got to thinking, staring into the campfire light. All the fences out on the range seemed strong, but something wasn't right. And then he thought about Jean and all their dreams, and how he left her so angry. And then he knew there were fences down at home he did not see. Boy, you better ride the fences. You better mend them when they're down. If you don't ride them fences, boy, you know you're trouble bound. How could we let it drift so far? And how could we be so blind?
A mile of fence, you know it's a lot easier when you have a buddy going with you than when you're all by yourself. Ain't that right? Yeah.
This morning, one of the things that I've been dealing with in my own heart and my own mind and trying to, you know, look at life and the way it is and the way it exists and especially the life and health of our church and each individual here and our spiritual condition. And I've come to a realization that we have a tremendous church body. We have a tremendous bunch of people. We have some people in this church who are not just committed, but they're sold out. And then I've come to realize that we have some mediocrity. And I look out over the crowd, and without being judgmental, it occurs to me that we're going to have people in the front of the line, and we're going to have people in the back of the line, and then we're going to have people that don't even make the line.
And we're going to have everything in between. It's what our church is. And it occurs to me that probably the most important thing that we can do as a church is to mature. The most important thing we can do is to grow and become exactly what God wants us to be. And I looked at a word, it's called superficial. And this is out of Google, it's not even out of the Bible. But you'll understand why. The word superficial means existing or occurring on the surface, appearing to be true or real only till examined more closely. The fact of never thinking about things that are serious or important. And the definition in a sentence form was this: he was accused of superficiality, unreliability, and a lack of conviction. Superficial. So the title of my message this morning is Superficial Christianity. And I know that, you know, my next birthday, I'm going to be 70. And so Anna has warned me, do not become the cranky old man. So I will attempt to preach about immaturity in a very positive manner, okay? Well, I'll give you that. And if it's your first time to be with us, if you're clicking through the channels on RFD or the Cowboy Channel, and you've set this introduction up, don't turn the channel quite yet, because I'm going to talk about some things that are very important to us as Christians. We live in a world that is superficial, and the church has joined in. The church has joined in by saying things that are not in the Bible. They've said, I'm okay, you're okay. That's not okay. They have said things, as long as we love each other, it's going to be all right. And their definition of love is not the biblical definition of what love is. They've said, oh, God, it's just love. He couldn't send anybody to hell, and they haven't read the Word of God. And the truth of the matter is that God is God. And when God says these words, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord, that means two things. Number one is we don't have to involve ourselves in unforgiveness and vindictive activities because it's none of our business. And the other thing it means is it is God's business. And he knows how to do that right because he knows the heart. We don't know the heart of people. God is the perfect judge, and he will judge perfectly. And because of that, the thing that is important, catch this on superficiality, the thing that is important is what's going on underneath the surface of what it looks like. You know, there's a big ship. I know you know the name of this big ship that they said it was unsinkable. And all of you know the name of it. It starts with a T. And this big ship ran into an iceberg. And the reason they ran into an iceberg is because on an iceberg, all you see is the top. You don't understand the depth of the maturity of an iceberg if you're just looking on the top. I want you as Christians to be an iceberg, because what happens when you're an iceberg is when this world says that the church is not relevant, when the world says that God's not relevant, when the world says that God didn't exist, and when the world says and science says that the Bible is a hoax and it's a crock, it's because all they see is the surface. But the most important part is when they say how infallible and how perfect they are is when they run in or get in the neighborhood of the church, which is God's people. When the church does things right, the church wins. Amen. And the things that we think are unsinkable in this world right now, don't have a chance if the church becomes mature. And the church needs to become mature. And guys, I am so grateful that in the last few weeks, and you can say this however you want, but if you understand the Word of God, you understand what is going on in the world now. Our Supreme Court has chosen life. Unless you understand history, that the devil himself hates kids. It tried to destroy kids in Moses' day. It tried to destroy kids in Jesus' time. They were afraid of the Redeemer and Molech and all of the stuff. And Johnny preached about it in our church, that until you understand that the devil hates your kids, and abortion is exactly the hatred that he has involved. It's the same thing under a different name. And when the church stands up and becomes the church and affects the people that's supposed to be affected, the right decisions get to be made on a higher level. And nobody knows why. They blame them. But I'm telling you, the reason it happened is because the church began to pray. Yes. Amen. So superficial Christianity. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made from things which are visible. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you would grace us with your presence. Send your Holy Spirit to be here today. God, that you'd put a rich anointing on the words that are about to be spoken and supersede our abilities. God, I pray that there would be a richness and effect on our congregation today and on those listening, that we would be challenged to be mature Christians, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My dad had a lot of interesting sayings. Those of you who knew him always knew that he had a little cliche something or other to say. And his words about maturity is this. He says, we love baby Christians. He said, but when you have to part the mustache to put the bottle in, it's no longer fun. So the church has a tremendous responsibility, and that is the responsibility is to mature so that we can become the bride of Christ, so that we can become all that God wants us to be. So the first thing we understand in maturity and getting rid of superficial Christianity is that the only way we can get through that, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith. See, the Bible tells us that God has given us all enough faith to get saved. You say, Russ, I don't have any faith. Yes, you do. The Bible says you've been given a measure of faith. All you have to do is utilize it. All you have to do is put it in the right place. And you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and it will do the thing that it's supposed to do, and it will get you kick-started on this walk with God. So faith is a substance. What is a substance? It's faith. Faith is the substance. Faith is the part that's lurking below the surface. And when you have faith encounters, then what you do is maturity begins to happen in your life. So the only way for maturity to begin to happen is for us to get saved. You can't have spiritual maturity without a spiritual life. The Bible says you must be born again. So we have to have a salvation faith encounter. Salvation slash faith encounter. And chapter 11, verse 1 says faith is a substance. There's substance. See, there's substance of faith. People talk about blind faith. Blind faith is not an existent thing. It's not existent. Maybe you don't see all of it, but it's not blind. It can be found. And God didn't expect you out of ignorance and emotion to make any decision at all, ever. Did you hear me there? Do not make emotional decisions. And we live in a society that is so mistaken God that what we do is we try to put the devil's twist on everything. And so what we say is that when you get married, you have fallen in love, like you're a victim. So does the Bible address this? Absolutely. Go read the book of Judges. Read about one of the strongest men in the world that's ever existed, Samson. It said Samson fell in love with a prostitute. He was a victim of hormones. He wasn't a victim of love. He went in and she just destroyed him. I mean, she messed him up. Then, excuse me, the first one wasn't a prostitute. The first one was a Philistine. And the Philistines, because of her, God gave this great victory, but she whined, she complained, and she deceived, and she tried to take away the very thing that God had planned for Samson. And in the process, God, in spite of it, used Samson to bring about a great victory. The next thing he did, he fell in love with a prostitute. That was the second one. He fell in love. The Bible says it. He fell in love. Samson, this is not the right way to do a marriage. We don't do faith blindly. We don't do faith because we've had an emotional encounter. We do faith because we have what the Bible calls a covenant. And a covenant is based on a decision, and all the other nice things follow that. But if it's not based on a covenant decision, then it is phony. And so finally, Delilah got him, and they cut his hair, took away his strength, and the Bible says that his strength, catch this, his strength came from the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God would come on him and his strength would happen. When you come in here and you sense God doing something, it's because of the Holy Spirit's anointing. When you come in here and fall asleep, it's because he's not anointing. And when you try to take God out of the equation, the anointing of the Holy Spirit goes with that. So everything has to be done through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at salvation encounter. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for. How does this work? Well, let's look at it. The first thing that happens when we have a salvation encounter is John 3, verses 3 through 7. Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, those of you who've been looking at The Chosen, you have an affinity for this guy, Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, that's physical, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again.
We're so glad that you joined us today. You can write to us at the address that's on your screen right now. You can email us. You can Facebook. We would love to hear from you. And thank you for the support that you send in each month, because it keeps us right here on your screen, and we appreciate that. God bless you. We'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.